It is good to be here tonight. I was told that I have a time limit. I'm not going to tell you all the time limit I was given for tonight. But the way that I look at it is this. Normally, I'm downstairs with the teenagers, and I have to be done whenever Pastor Herdman is done. But I'm not downstairs with the teenagers anymore, so I get to be up here. So I figure however long I go, I get to go that long, and Brother Radford can preach as long as I do up here. So if you want to take your Bibles, go to the book of 1 Samuel. And tonight, I want to ask a question. What are you passionate Everyone is passionate about something, right? If I started talking about maybe some certain football teams, maybe some people who like to volunteer a little bit, some people would get a little bit passionate about certain groups of that area, right? I can't get along with all of those people, but that's okay. What about some people are passionate about movies or TV shows. Some people are passionate about food. I love food. I'm passionate about certain kinds of food. Brother Dan talked about ice cream a minute ago. I'm passionate about ice cream, right? Everybody's passionate about different things, but as a Christian, the thing that we should be the most passionate about is God. Tonight, we're going to look at a really familiar story, one that probably many of you could teach. If I called on you right now, you could probably hop up and teach this lesson, this story, a very familiar story. But the truth is that this only took place because of passion for God. The question tonight is, hey, are we passionate about God? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the chapter of David and Goliath. This happens to be one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. And I think every time I preach, I say that exact phrase. This is one of my favorites in the Bible. But they're all really good. But I really do love this passage, all right? And 1 Samuel chapter 17 is about David and Goliath. And we're going to look at David's passion for God. David was passionate about his God. We got to get a little bit of context for tonight. So let's take a look at the setting. We're going to start in verse number 2 and read from there. You follow along as I read. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side and the Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. So the setting here is you have Israel on the one side, and on the other side of the valley, you have the Philistines. And there's a valley in between, and a battle is about to take place between these two groups of people. And a challenge is given. Now, I'm not sure if the armies didn't think that they could win, and so they figured we just will send out one person instead, and that one person will fight for us, and that way everybody doesn't have to fight. I don't know if they felt like they wouldn't be able to win, but if I had to guess, I think the Philistines probably started this whole thing, because they had a guy. The saying is, it's not what you know, but it's who you know. They knew somebody. They happen to know a giant. And so let's take a look at this giant. Look at verse number 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So Goliath here we see is a giant. Some scholars, the estimate is he's between 9'3" and 9'9" tall. That's a little bit hard to fathom if you're me, but for reference sake, I'm about 6'1". Goliath would have been over 3 feet taller than I am. Goliath was a very tall individual. But a lot of times when we think of someone who's tall, oftentimes they're very tall and lanky. But Goliath, I don't believe, was a lanky individual. Goliath wasn't just tall. He was huge. His armor is described. He's got his helmet and a coat of scaled armor. And that armor would have weighed about 125 pounds. That's what he would have fought in. That was besides his javelin and his spear and all the other things he would have had with him. Goliath was a massive, massive foe. He presents a challenge to the Israelites. Look in verse number 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Jump down to verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Anyone who was in their right minds would have been afraid at this point. Goliath is a giant. No one compares to Goliath on the Israelites' side. Anyone who would have gone out to fight Goliath would have had to have been crazy, out of their minds, absurd. Goliath makes a very foolish statement in verse 10, though. In verse 10, he says, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. The phrase, his statement, I defy the armies of Israel this day. For Goliath, for the people of this time, they viewed Israel, and Israel was coming into the promised land to take the land that God had promised to them. And in doing so, the surrounding nations, really, they associated the God of Israel with Israel. So for Goliath to defy the armies of Israel, really, Goliath is defying God. Very foolish thing to do. We're going to meet David now. So let's take a look at David. David's father, Jesse, he was too old to go to fight at this point, but Jesse had 8 sons. His oldest 3 sons we can read about starting in verse 13, and the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the name of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next unto him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. So here we meet David. David is the youngest of all the siblings. He is not old enough yet to go off to this fight, but his 3 oldest brothers are old enough to go off to battle. So they follow King Saul into this battle. David is the shepherd. He watched over the sheep of his father. And one day, he's given a task. See, the Philistine Goliath for quite a while, 40 days, had been coming out and presenting this challenge to Israel, and no one had taken him up yet. And after 40 days, probably the 3 oldest boys were ready for a care package from home. When I was at college, I always looked for a care package at home. It could have been 4 days or 5 days. It didn't really matter. I was ready for another care package, all right? And after 40 days, I'm sure they were ready for some food from home. And so David's dad gives him a task, a job, starting in verse number 17. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their host. And look how they, thy brethren, fare and take their pledge. David is given a big responsibility by his father. His father says, hey, I need you to go check on your brothers and see how they're doing. Now, I don't know why David was the one that was tasked with this job rather than any of his other brothers who were there, but David was given this job, and I believe that his father was very sure that this job would get done. David was a responsible individual. When he was asked to do something, he did it. And that's how he lived his life. So his father sends him on this task. Look at verse number 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. He's taking care of his current responsibilities. And took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle.
So David, he takes on this responsibility and he obeys his father and does what his father asks him to do. David does what seems to be a small task, not realizing that God is about to ask him to do something huge. In life, sometimes we look for the big things to do. We want to be able to accomplish something big for God, but oftentimes we overlook the small things. If you hear a testimony about some great preacher of the past, you hear about the big thing that happened, but you don't see the everyday small things that took place. We don't get to seeing God do something great through us without starting doing everyday things that we're supposed to do for God. If we're not taking every day and taking time to walk with God, we can't expect God to use us to do something great. David obeyed in the small things. David gets there, and we'll pick it up in verse 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. David sees Goliath and hears Goliath for the first time. David hears the rumors around Goliath, and he starts asking questions. Hey, what's up with this guy? What's going on with him? Why are we letting him come and challenge our God, challenge Israel? Why is he going unopposed? People start telling him, well, look at him, David. He's 9 foot something, and he's huge. They start saying, hey, whoever goes and fights Goliath, they're going to be able to get great riches, but you kind of have to be out of your mind to go fight that guy. David, he sees his brothers, gets with his brothers, and his brothers don't greatly appreciate him being there and asking questions. They kind of get on to him, and the truth is that ultimately, people may not understand why we do what we do, but ultimately, we're going to stand before God and give an account for the things we do. Everything we do in life, we're going to need to stand, be able to stand before God and give an account as to why we did that. We shouldn't let what man thinks keep us from serving God. Well, word gets to King Saul, who, by the way, wasn't willing to go out and fight Goliath himself, though he stood head and shoulders above all of Israel. Word gets to Saul, King Saul, about David asking these questions. Look at verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Objectively looking, this seemed impossible. If you looked at David and you looked at Goliath, this is impossible. There was no way that this made any sense. David had to have been crazy, out of his mind, to do something like this. But the truth is, David was different than all the rest of Israel. David was different than all the rest of Israel because he was passionate about his God. And because he was passionate about his God, people looked at him and said, hey, he's a little bit weird. Why would he go and fight Goliath? But the truth is, if we're going to be passionate about God in our own lives, sometimes people might think we're a little crazy. We're a little radical. Why do you go to church so much? 3 times a week, is that necessary? Why do you serve on that bus route? Why do you take your time and study for a Sunday school class? Why do you put so much time and effort into serving God? But if we're passionate about God, we're going to be able to do some great things for God. David's confidence is going to be seen, and it's not confidence in himself. It's confidence in his God. Look at verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the beard. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. David is confident here. He's not confident because he was able to kill a bear at one point in his life or kill a lion, though that's quite the feat. David is confident because he knows the God he serves. David didn't stand before King Saul and say, hey, look at all the great things that I have done in my past. Sometimes we can get caught up saying, hey, look at all the great things that have happened in my past, right? But what a sad place to stand, right? We need to stand like David stood and say, hey, all those things in my past are because of the God that I serve. And that same God who helped me back then, he's helping me today. You know what? The same God who helped David is the same God that helps you and me each and every day. Amen. What a great God we serve. David said, hey, I serve a big God. Saul lets him go, and David prepares for war. Saul had given him his armor, but David said, I can't wear this. It's too big. It doesn't work right for me. So David prepares. He picks up some stones in verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Goliath comes out to fight David. David's all prepped up and ready to go. He's got his smooth stones in his bag. He's got his sling. He's coming out there. He's ready to go. And Goliath sees him. He walks out. He goes, oh, okay, someone's, you know, challenging me. He comes out. You brought this guy to fight me? Are you kidding me? This guy doesn't even look like he's ever held a sword before. He's coming out here with a sling. Who is this guy that you brought out here? He doesn't look like he's ever been roughed up or been trained in combat. Are you kidding me, Israel? This is the best guy you could send out here. You know what? Probably all of Israel was thinking the same thing. King Saul, is this the best guy we could send out there? But none of them were willing to go. It's such a blessing to be reminded of how God viewed this situation. You think about how Goliath viewed it or how Israel may have viewed it, but can I remind you of what is accounted in 1 Samuel 16:7? For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Goliath may have seen David and thought, there ain't no way. This guy's weak. He's scrawny. But when God looked down, he didn't see a weak, scrawny individual. He saw a man who was passionate about him. He saw a man who he could use in a great way. He saw a man that he was going to be able to do something big through because he was passionate about God. Sometimes we put on, when we come into church, it's easy to, you know, look pretty good, carry our Bible around, look the part. But when God looks down and sees you, is that what he sees? Does he see someone who is passionate about God? Someone who he can do some great things through because they're usable? Are you passionate about God? David was passionate about God. He was ready to go. He was confident in his God. We see a little bit of trash talking going back and forth here. If you start in verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest out to me with staves? This little twig is coming out here to fight me? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowl of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." David comes out, and he doesn't come out talking about how he killed a bear. He doesn't come out talking about how he killed a lion. He comes out and says, "You know what? You may be big, you may be scary, but I serve a bigger God who is in control of this universe. My God is bigger than your God, and I'm about to prove to you that my God is real. My God is all powerful." The battle ensues. We get to see the victory. This is the fun part of this story, verse 48. "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." Hey, David's passion for God allowed him to make a bold stand for God. David didn't run and hide. David didn't crouch behind a rock that he found. No, David ran towards the army because he knew he served a big God. And he was passionate about the God that he served. Let me ask a question. My question is this: how was David able to do this? How was David able to do this? I mean, not that there's any 9-foot giants around here, but will we do it? If we put ourselves in David's shoes, it's a little bit hard to put ourselves in his shoes, but let's think about another something that could be scary. What if I told you there was a crowd outside of 100, 1,000 people, whatever, and I needed somebody to go out there and tell them about Jesus? Now, I don't know about you all. I am up here, but public speaking is very terrifying. I think it's the scariest thing in the world. But would we be willing to do it? Would you hop up and say, "Oh, hey, I can talk about my God. I'm passionate about God. I can go out there and tell him about who Jesus is." You might say, "Well, I wouldn't have time to prepare right now." But the truth is, David didn't have 10 months to prepare for battle. He had to grab some smooth stones and go. You might say, "Well, I'm not skilled in that area." David wasn't skilled in fighting either. But you know what? He was so passionate about who his God was. He didn't care what the challenge was in front of him. He was going to serve his God. He was going to build the name of his God. He was passionate about God. So how was David ready for this extreme show of faith in God? This is a pretty extreme show of faith for David. How was he ready for this? How did he become so passionate about God that he was ready to take on a giant? His passion for God did not start when he saw the giant. David's passion for God did not start when he saw the giant. His passion for God started when he was alone in the wilderness with God, taking care of the sheep, doing the small things, the everyday things. That's where David's passion for God began. Sometimes we can allow our time when we should be alone and fellowshipping with God, alone walking with God, to be filled up by so many other things. The Bible says to be still and know that I am God. So often our lives are filled with so much noise. Maybe it's our phones, maybe it's the TV going on, maybe it's something playing in the background, something we're running off to. But you know what? If we're gonna be passionate about God, we need to walk with God every day. Walking with God is not just reading our Bible and checking it off our list, but truly getting alone with God and seeking Him, building a relationship with God every day. It's the small things. David did this regularly, and so when he got to seeing the giants in front of him, he was ready for it because his passion for God was already being built. Hey, are we seeking to walk with God every day? Hey, you want to be used in a big way by God? Hey, you could get to the end of your life and feel that you lived a successful life. Start walking with God each and every day. Continue walking with God each and every day. Don't neglect the everyday tasks, because one day God's going to bring something along. And if you've neglected the everyday tasks, how are you going to be prepared for when you meet a giant? Hey, how are we doing? Are we passionate about God? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the example of David. Lord, thank you for David's passion for you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live our lives being passionate about you. Lord, we know that extends beyond just checking some boxes. Lord, that involves us having a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk with you every day. Now, before I finish praying, I'm going to ask the musicians if they would play something softly. And as they play, in your seat, ask yourself, be honest, between you and God, are you passionate about Him? If not, what's holding you back from being passionate about God? Is there some area in your life that you need to talk with God about? Maybe you just need to rededicate some time during your busy day and put it towards spending time with God. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit's working on in your life, take a few minutes and do business with God. Maybe you're in here and you say, you know what, I want to be passionate about God, but I don't even have a relationship with Him. The first step is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If the Lord's dealing with you and you need to be saved today, make your way towards the front and I'll meet you up here and I can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. They'll play one more verse and we'll conclude tonight. Amen. You may look this way. Well, the trap door didn't open, so I must not have gone over my time. We did good. Hey, thank y'all for being here this evening. You all are dismissed. If y'all have anything, swing by and say hi. And otherwise, we will see you all on Sunday.